lives on hold for a little while to give back to us so that we can have this freedom to even worship this morning. When I do funerals for vets, it touches me because I realize that the only way that I can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in freedom, that we can gather together and worship without fear of being interrupted by military or by outside sources, is that men and women have put their lives on the line. Amen. Some have lost their lives. Many are still with us today. This is Veterans Monday. Monday is Veterans Day. We need to really show and appreciate them, whether
it's right.
You're buying them a meal or just telling them thank you for their service, whatever it may be. Just let them know that we really do appreciate and love them for giving so much of themselves. I just wanted to pause a minute for the message. Pastor Brian's bringing the message this morning to remind everyone about the capital campaign. If you missed these white cards, there are some in the back with the yellow envelope. Just fill that out if you want to join us for the capital campaign, and you pray about what God would have you do. Don't make an emotional decision. Don't make a good decision. Make a God decision on what you would do. And sometime after the service, you just come by. You can put it in the box, and Brian will pick those up. If you are ready to start contributing to that commitment that you've made, these are the envelopes. There are some on the back tables. There's tables all around. These are the envelopes that you use on the inside where you can put your name and how much and everything of that nature. You can put it in one of the boxes on the side by each door. Do this on monthly, weekly, whatever basis you and your family have decided to join with us on that. And also, Operation Christmas Child, this is the week that they pick the boxes up. So you need to bring the boxes this week. But here are boxes for you. If you and your family would like to stuff these boxes full of things, there's some information about what's available that what you need to put in the boxes, and how much offering that goes along with the boxes to make sure it gets to its destination. These boxes are empty. They're for you to take. So these boxes are for you. There's not just ornaments up here. They're for you to take and fill up as many as you want. Listen, our church, you know, sets a goal each year. I just have to say this about my niece and my nephew up in Bossier City. They stuffed 100 of these, just them two. They worked on it all year long. Mm-hmm. And they're not even Southern Baptists. And they joined in because they saw the ministry that went around the world, and their mother and their father worked with them, and they just wanted to touch lives. They stuffed 100 boxes, just those two teenagers. So I pray that you would pick up a box for you and your family, or several boxes, however many God leads you to. Pastor Brian?
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How y'all doing? It's been a whirlwind trip for our church. We have been spread out across the country. I don't know if you've seen the pictures on Facebook with our missions team going over to help clean up some of the destruction, working with some fellow believers over there, trying to help churches out, and what a great work they were doing over there. Just trying to help people get back on their feet, to let them know that we're here, that God loves them, that Jesus cares about them. I had the opportunity, on the same time that they were over there, I had the opportunity to go to Utah, of all places. So I spent 3 days in Utah, in the heart of Mormon country, talking about Billy Graham. It's a pretty cool thing to do, right? Pretty cool thing to do. So you can see your church is being really, really well represented across the United States, almost literally coast to coast almost. One of the things I found on my journey was very interesting, being in Salt Lake City, where the Church of Latter-day Saints is centrally located, is that there are a group of people there that who are fervently dedicated to something. They are fervently dedicated to their religion. When you walk in their town, it is immaculately clean. When you talk to them, they're some of the nicest people ever. They don't have the cool Cajun accents that we do, but they're some of the really nicest people ever. And it is obvious by the way that they carry themselves and they handle themselves that they are dedicated to their religion. Unfortunately, if you've done any study of Mormonism and the Latter-day Saints, I do not mean to offend anyone in here. If you have family in that church, the things that they believe do not line up necessarily with the Scriptures. And so unfortunately, even though they have great intentions, their intentions are misguided in many, many different ways. These are the people that come to your door and will knock and ride bicycles around town and want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Do not shy away from people. Can I tell you that? There's no other way that we can reach people with the real love and salvation of Jesus Christ by shunning them. Now, be careful. Don't necessarily let them influence your theology, but we've got to love people, right? And that was something that was really characteristic of their culture there. And I got to thinking about this and knowing that I was going to be speaking this morning. I had the opportunity to speak with some of our students at our Make a Difference weekend a few months back, and the Lord really just impressed, said, Brian, you need to share this with the whole church. Because there is something about Christianity that at times we feel like we can kind of take our car and put it in neutral and just kind of coast along through life. And God has not called you and I to do that. We've not been called to just kind of coast through our Christianity while we're here on earth. He's given us some jobs to do. And it was funny going all the way to Utah and seeing their fervor for what they believe makes me realize we've got the truth in Jesus Christ and the real gospel. What are we doing with it? And so this morning, you can see the title of our message is, What's Your Excuse? We're going to be looking at a person in the Scripture who had every reason in the world not to be fervently dedicated to God. He had situations in his life that would come up, and you would think, wow, there's no way that this guy would be able to follow God truly and wholeheartedly with the circumstances that are surrounding his life. The one thing that I came back with is we've got to get busy. We've got to get busy and start living out the things that God has called us to do, living our lives like Jesus has lived and taught us to live, and share our faith with other people. And if we're not doing it, what's our excuse? And maybe by the time we get through the text today, we'll see we really don't have one. There's really no excuse for us not to be busy about God's work. We have jobs to do, and it's really an act of obedience. If we want to make a difference in our families, if we want to make a difference in our friendships, if we want to make a difference in our coworkers' lives, we've got to get busy obeying what Jesus Christ has called us to do. And I understand this. I'll admit to you, the idea of fully committing, we used to call this back in my day, fully selling out for Jesus Christ, meaning taking everything else that's in your life and put it on the back burner and realize that Jesus is number one in everything that we do, the idea of that can be a little bit scary at times. The idea that we may have to make sacrifices. The idea that some of the things in life that we enjoy really pale in comparison to what he's called us to do. And they really need to be pushed to the side and focused in on him. I understand that. I also understand that sometimes sharing our faith is one of the scariest things in the world that we could do. Because we don't want to be rejected. We don't want to push people away. But we have the cure for what ails them. And because of this, through Jesus Christ, we need to really, this morning, just kind of think about what's our excuse. What is our excuse? And we're going to take a look at a young man in the Scriptures that's going to give us some good details about, really, there is no excuse for us. Because excuses are kind of funny things, right? I get to teach a class in college all about how we communicate to one another. And one of the things that I love, we spend a whole day on it, is this. Whenever we do something wrong or we feel kind of that we've been slighted or we see somebody else do something wrong, we go into two different modes. We try to figure out what's going wrong in our life or what's going wrong in someone else's life, and we attribute it to two different factors. We think, well, what happened from the outside, the external factors that caused this behavior to happen, and then we look on the inside and we say, well, what happened on the inside that caused all this mess to happen? And the funny thing about humans is we tend to try to avoid all looking on the inside because it's so much easier and we kind of get to save face if we can attribute our mess-ups or things we're not supposed to be doing to things that happen on the outside. For instance, why did you get that speeding ticket? Why did you get that? Well, I got held up by a train. My kids were making messes all morning. I had to clean it. See, all those are excuses from the outside. That's why I got that speeding ticket. We don't want to go inside and look and say, well, the reason that I get it was because I'm just perpetually late. That's my personality, and I really need to work on that. We don't want to look at that. We'd rather attribute it to someone else. So when we see someone else do it, we see somebody else make a mistake in life, we want to try to help them by looking at all the things that influenced them as to why that mistake was made, because it's easier for us. You see, it's so much harder to look inside and realize, man, some of this stuff just comes from the inside. So why don't we dedicate ourselves? What's our excuse to following God wholeheartedly and sold out 100%? We've got to look inside and see. Not the outside. Oh, my kids are really busy and I'm running everywhere. Or my family's got this issue going on. These are external things. What's coming from the inside? Where's our motivation? A lot of people in society today will tell us we're all products of our environment, the things that we're surrounded by. And to a degree, that is absolutely true. You think people who are brought up in abusive homes, they're more apt to be abusive, is what the world will tell us. The people who were brought up in a home that doesn't value church attendance, then your children will not value going to church. And to a degree, that may be true. But today we're going to look at a guy in the scriptures who actually had these crazy things going on. He defied every bit of odds that should have kept him from worshiping God, but he chose to do it anyway. In fact, we're going to see that through him, this, he proves that each of us can live a life that is sold out for God, that makes a difference in other people's lives, no matter what circumstances we have ever faced. We just got to look on the inside and see where we're at. This young man's name is Josiah. And Josiah became a king at an extremely early age. And he's really a pretty cool example for us to take a look at today. Josiah grew up in an environment that is not much unlike what we're looking at today in the world, to be honest. Maybe it was a little bit more violent back then, but he was growing up in a culture that was one of confusion. It was one filled with murders, one that was filled with wars going on day by day. And the environment that surrounded Josiah was one that most everybody around him absolutely hated God. It was like this. If God gave them a word of something to do, they would hear the word and they would absolutely choose to do the 180-degree opposite of it. So if God told them to do something, they would thumb their nose and do it out of spite because God told them to do it. This is a culture that is kind of a, maybe not as unlike ours today. You see that kind of in our culture. But imagine the violence that surrounded Josiah back then. And the worst part about this environment that Josiah grew up in was the fact that it was caused by his father and his grandfather. His grandfather and his father were the ones who had created this environment. His father was a king named Amon, and his grandfather was named Manasseh, who was also king. And they allowed their whole nation to get to this crazy state where wars were going on, murders were happening, all kind of debauchery was happening. Listen to the scriptures when it describes the environment that Josiah grew up in. And this is found in 2 Kings 21. We'll get to Chronicles in a moment. He says, but the people didn't listen. Manasseh led them astray, so they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. So realize, remember the Israelites' journey, everybody was doing all these crazy things in the promised land. God had taken care of all of them, put them in there, and now the Israelites have gotten to the point they're doing things worse than the people that God drove out there to begin with. This is the state of the nation that Josiah grew up in. In 21 it says, moreover, Manasseh also shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem from end to end. Besides the sin that he had caused Judah to commit, and God said, that is so evil, so evil. Another verse says this, he, Amon, who is Josiah's father, did evil in the eyes of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. He followed completely the ways of his father, worshiping the idols his father had worshipped, and bowing down to them. He forsook the Lord, the God of his ancestors, and did not walk in obedience to him. Listen, it was Josiah's father, Amon, and his grandfather, Manasseh, that brought this nation into this serious condition. Now listen, I know that a lot of times when we try to do these kind of introspective looks, I know that some of us in this room, students to adults to children, whoever, may have grown up in situations very similar to Josiah. If you look at your home life and your environment that you grew up in, it was not the current biblical home life that you have now. In fact, it may have been really, really rough growing up. But what we can see this morning is no matter the culture that has surrounded you, that God will make a way. Amen. If you will surrender your will to His will, He will make a way, and He will be able to use you in a great and mighty way. But this isn't as bad as it was for Josiah. That sounds bad enough. But this is what Josiah also went through. In verse 23 of that chapter, this is what we find. Amon's officials conspired against him. This is Josiah's dad. His officials conspired against him and assassinated him in his palace. Did you catch that? Not only did Josiah grow up in a place with wars and debauchery going on around him, and his father and his grandfather had absolutely nothing to do with the Lord. As a child, Josiah saw his father murdered. And if he didn't see him murdered, he was at least right in the house with him and was present for all the activities that surrounded it. Can you imagine this as a child growing up? The external factors would make you think there's no way he would follow God. Look at the things that are going on around him. But this was the reality of the world that Josiah was born into. But here's the cool part. Miraculously, Josiah was about to do something incredible. Because what Josiah was going to do in just a few verses, he's going to turn the entire nation around, and he's going to start following God. Amen. He's going to do a 180-degree turn from the things that were surrounding him all around, look inside and see where his heart is, and say, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm turning around, and my nation's coming with me. And the nation actually prospered just a little bit under his reign. But all of this adversity, how was he able to overcome this? And there are three things that I did some research on, and I wish I could tell you this fellow's name. I was reading a blog post. It was anonymous. But he had three incredible points about Josiah, and I want to bring those to you today and give him his credit, whoever he may be. The reason that Josiah was able to follow God in the midst of all this craziness was this. Number one, he made a personal decision. He chose to turn. The second thing was, he responded to the word of God, and we're going to see how incredible that is in just a moment. And the third thing is that his heart was in the right place. He had his heart where God could be using him. Tune in with me just for a couple minutes, okay? We're going to check out these. So get your scriptures, turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, we'll be in chapter 34. We're going to read a few verses that make a huge impact on Josiah, and we're going to take these lessons and we're going to run with them today. So 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 through 3 says this. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Did y'all catch that? Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, about 16 years old, he began to seek the God of his father David. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and idols. The first thing that Josiah was that influenced Josiah to be able to make this commitment to God was he made a personal decision. He made a choice in his heart to follow God because the cards were really stacked against Josiah. There was no reason for him to. But what we know from the scripture, he did not have a godly male influence in his life. His dad was doing all the things that God said not to. His grandpa, you go up the line, and he was doing these things as well. However, through historical documents, what we do understand is his mom did tell him the stories of old. Amen. His mom told him about his ancestor, King David, who definitely was not perfect, but made a commitment to chase after God's own heart. And because of his mom's influence in his life, Josiah held on to these things. And at a very early age, he made a very personal decision that he was not going to be a king like his dad. He was not going to be a king like his grandfather. Instead, he was going to seek after the God of his ancestor, David. He chose to do this. In verse 3, it says this, he began to seek the God of David, his father. He began to seek God. And what we're going to see in a minute when the scriptures come in, what an incredible thing to do. Next, he began to purge Judah. He began to take action. He began to go through Judah and take out all the things that were not of God. He started to clean house, in other words. And verse 8, later on down, we'll see that he actually goes and starts repairing the house of the Lord, the place of worship. So notice this crazy timeline. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. 8 years old. You know what I was worried about when I was 8 years old? Fruity Pebbles and Scooby-Doo. That's all I was worried about. Dude's 8 years old, and he's ruling a country. 8 years old. At 16, though, and I tell these students all the time, at 16, he made a decision that would change his life. And not only change his life, but the life of an entire nation. Don't ever think our students cannot change this world. For they can, absolutely. Our children can change the world, and you can too. With God working in us, we can do some incredible, incredible things. 20 years old, he starts cleaning house, and at 26, he orders God's temple to be rebuilt and restored. And to really appreciate this, we need to understand this. No one forced Josiah to make this choice. There's no one with a sword to his neck saying, follow God or else. That's not what was going on. He deliberately chose to break this family tradition and cycle of sin, and he began to follow after God. If we really want to sell out, if we really want to wholeheartedly focus in on what God has for us, we need to make this same kind of decision just as Josiah did. You may be here this morning and have all the cards stacked against you as well. Maybe there's really no reason in your family and in your environment that would promote a following of God, of Jesus. Oh, but personal decision this morning. Christian, it's time to lay down all that stuff in our life and sell out and get busy about what God has called us to do. Listen, if you find that you identify with Josiah's dad and grandfather living a life that is contrary to the will of God, today may be the day of salvation for you. Instead of going along with the family, the crowd, the environment to fit in, we've got to be set apart. We've got to be different. People notice when things stick out. You know, you notice when things are different. And when people see the difference in you, they're going to wonder, what in the world is going on? Why are you so different? Why are you reacting differently? Why do you have this joy in your heart all the time? And then that opens the door, and you say, Jesus. And then you begin to witness and share. Listen, I'm talking about getting serious and serving God with your life right now. Some of us in here, we've been looking at all the external things that are going on in our life, and we need to realize an internal choice needs to be made. You may have surrendered your life to Christ years and years ago as a child, as a teenager, maybe as an adult, but you've never fully let Him committed to be Lord to your life. Today, let go of the ropes, let go of the reins, and let Him lead and guide you. I promise you, it's a mistake. It's not a mistake. You will not regret it. God will be one of the coolest roller coaster rides living with Him ever in the world. He will bring you on adventures you will have never thought you would have been on. He will bring you to people you would have never thought you would have talked to, and He will use you in ways you would have never thought He would use you. He wants to use you. He desires. That's His plan. The second thing that Josiah did was this, and this is really cool, is Josiah responded to the word of God. Now, if you go down in that chapter in Chronicles, we see in verse 14 that they find the scriptures. Now, that's weird, right? Because you're thinking they found the scriptures. I know this is Old Testament. But remember, before this, Moses had written some scripture. God had given it to him. And so here's the cool part. In those verses, it says this, while they were bringing out the money that they had taken into the temple of the Lord, this guy named Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given to Moses. He finds it. I'm going to show you here something in a minute that's really impressive. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law. I mean, he's pumped. He's like, check this out. It's a cool book. And then he gives it to Shaphan, and Shaphan took the book to the king, and he reports to him. He says, your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple, and check it out. Hilkiah gave me this book for you. And Shaphan reads from it in the presence of the king. Now, Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, had forsaken the scriptures as well as true worship of God. And Josiah's father, Amon, had forsaken it just as much. So Josiah sends all these workers to the house of God, and they repair it, and they find the book, and he brings it back, and he starts reading it before the king, and check out how powerful God's word is. It says, when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. Now, that's kind of a foreign concept to you and I. Whenever in the Old Testament, especially if a sign of repentance was shown, a sign of brokenness, they would take their robes and it would literally tear them. It was a sign of, I have heard from God, I am repenting because now I know the truth. And so Josiah tears his robes. And
because of that, this is what the incredible part is. It says when the king heard, he tears his robes, he gives these orders to Hilkiah and all these other guys. He says, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because those who have gone before us have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with them that is all is written in this book. Now check this out. Keep this in mind, that for 50 years between his father and his grandfather, the word of God had not been proclaimed. 50 years. And here's Josiah hearing the word of the Lord basically for the first time. His mom had told him some stories of faith, but he's hearing the word of God for the first time. He had never heard, he had never read the word of God. He had never read it. And he may have been taught some of those principles, but for 50 years? And all of a sudden, this young king hears the word of God, and what does he do? Repent. Lord, I now know your truth. I repent from this. And then what does he do? Not only does he repent, check this out. It's not just, God, I'm sorry. Now I'm going to go on about my deal. What does he do? He says, we got to go inquire about the Lord. We got to go to the Lord and hear from him. I want some more. I want some more. So go inquire of the Lord about my reign, about our people, because we have not been doing the right thing. I repent, Lord. Tell me what to do next. Amen. Y'all, Josiah never heard the word. And when he is presented with the scripture, he repents and says, I want some more. That's good stuff. Maybe this morning that's where we are. Is that what's keeping us? Do we need to repent? Is repentance what is needed for us to sell out and follow God? Maybe so. I bet if you invited me over to your house, I would walk into your house and probably on your bookshelves, on your counters. I bet we could probably find a lot of Bibles in our homes, right? I started thinking about it the other day. Where is mine at? Because, you know, I've got some that I've collected through the years. We've got Bibles in every size, color, and style, but do we read them? Do we really dive into that scripture? If we opened our Bible app on our phone, would it show that we only open it on Sunday from 8 to 9 on Sunday mornings, and maybe 9 to 10? Guys, as believers, that is the word of God. We need to be hiding that stuff in our heart. We need to be receiving our instruction from God. We need to see the things through the scriptures that we may need to change and make those adjustments in our lives and be encouraged by the word that says, when I send you, my word will not return void. There's so much good stuff in the scriptures. We have to be diving in. And this, do we ever take a moment and just start to insert ourselves in the scripture? Because, you know, honestly, I bet if we were honest, sometimes when we read the scripture, like it's talking to someone else, and it's not necessarily talking to us. Let me challenge you. Put yourself in there. Put yourself in there. When the Lord gives commands and he makes statements and he says, do this or don't do this, he's not just making it, he's not just talking about the person sitting next to you. You know, ooh, this verse is good for so-and-so. I'm going to show them that verse. You know what? That verse is for you, too. That verse is for you, too. Insert yourself. See, the word of God had a great influence on this young man because he was open to it and he responded to it. The last thing is this. The Lord says when he looks at Josiah, he sees that his heart's in the right place. This wasn't said about his father or his grandfather or the legacy. This is what the Lord says about Josiah in verse 19. It says in 2 Kings 22:19, it says this. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid to waste. And because you tore your robes and you wept in my presence, you repented. I have also heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm about to bring on this place. A couple of things as we conclude this morning. God looks at Josiah and he looks at his heart. And the first thing he knows is that his heart's in the right spot. He's got a tender heart. He's got a heart that is ready to be planted with the word of God. And the Lord says to him, you've humbled yourself before me. You've repented. You've repented and you've sought my face. He shows repentance toward God. And look what he promises Josiah. He says, when you die, you're going to die in peace. He says, I'm going to gather you with your ancestors. You know what ancestor probably? David. The guy who was chasing after God's own heart. You will not have to witness all the craziness and the wrath that's about to be poured out on these nations. You see, we need to make sure that our heart's in the right place in order to make a difference in those people around us. We have to. Some of us have been in church for quite a long time, myself included. And we've heard the word so much that sometimes we can allow it to become common to us. We can allow it to become just normal. We're kind of hardened to it because we've heard it so much. We've come to the point sometimes when the word is open, we can hear it, and it doesn't really mean that much to us. Let it never be. May it never be that we walk in here and open the scriptures together and not leave changed. We have to anticipate that God's going to be speaking to us. When you walk in the door, it's not about, I wonder what kind of shoes Pastor Kevin's wearing today. No, it's like, what did the Lord give Pastor Kevin for me today? It's not him, he's just the vessel. What did Pastor Brian say today that the Lord could use to change me? See, sin's going to harden our hearts to God. We have to keep our hearts right. We have to stay in the Word. We have to remain faithful to God's house. We've got to get involved in serving the Lord. These are all things that keep us moving forward, and we need to continue to pray. See, God took this little boy at the age of 8 years old, and made him the king of Israel. And this little boy, he used him to turn an entire nation back to himself. Josiah was able to be used by God because, number one, he made a personal decision. He chose, he put the stake in the ground and said, I am not going down that path anymore. I don't care what's going on around me. I'm going to make an internal choice, and I'm going to follow the God of my ancestors. And he responded to the word of God properly. When it was revealed to him and the word was read, he repented, and he said, I want some more. And his heart was tender, and he kept it in the right place. And where are we at today? Josiah made a huge difference in the world, and you and I can too. There's so many lost people around us, people that we would never think were struggling on the inside, hurting. We need to be about reaching them, not only with compassion, but with Jesus' compassion and salvation. Let's pray together. Father, you're an awesome God. And this morning, as we dismiss, Lord, the word that you've given us today will just go forward with us, God. Lord, if there's some decisions this morning that need to take place, some just putting their stake in the ground and saying, from here on, Lord, I am going to be following you. I am going to be moving with you, Lord. I don't want to do this on my own anymore. Lord, I want to make that difference. Lord, if that is someone in here, let them just come to you in prayer. Lord, if they need to grab one of us by the hand and say, I am ready to move forward in my relationship. Lord, it's all about you. Help us to live more according to what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.